the monthly grocery inflation climbed above 4%. This is having a big impact on people's lives. He noted that surging food prices were the second most important financial issue for the public after energy costs, adding that one in four shoppers in Britain were now struggling financially. According to a BBC study, some essentials have almost doubled in price over the past 2 years. For example, a 500-gram bag of pasta that cost 50 pence 2 years ago is now priced at 95 pence. British families face an even tighter squeeze on their finances this year as the government cuts back support on household energy bills, while mortgage rates continue to rise, worsening the cost of living crisis. Economists say although overall inflation in the United Kingdom fell to 10.1% in January from its highest levels in more than 40 years, food prices are continuing to rise, forcing shoppers to turn to discounters. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered this story and tells us more. The National Farmers Union has warned UK supermarket shelves have been left bare of fresh fruit and vegetables, particularly tomatoes and cucumbers, which could be the tip of the iceberg. Certain products are hard to come by in UK supermarkets due to poor weather, reducing the harvest in Europe and North Africa. Brexit rules and lower supplies from UK and Dutch producers hit by the jump in energy bills to heat glasshouses. Andrew Opie, Director of Food and Sustainability at the British Retail Consortium, said difficult weather conditions in the south of Europe and North Africa have disrupted harvest for some fruit and vegetables, including tomatoes. The British government has pointed the finger at poor weather conditions in Spain and Morocco, key exporting countries, as the main cause of the shortage. However, farmers blame other factors such as climate crisis, sky-high energy costs and Brexit. Tony Montalbano, a director of Greenacre Salads in Royden, Essex, typically produces 1 million kilograms of baby cucumbers a year, but his glasshouses were standing empty in recent days. He said he delayed growing his crops this year until March to avoid winter fuel bills of up to £500,000 a month. The British Tomato Growers Association also said recently that many of its members have also delayed their crop season by 2 or 3 weeks to avoid high heating bills. Elizabeth Webster, chair of the campaign group Save British Food, said Brexit compounded many food supply problems because farmers in mainland Europe find it easier to sell within the European Union than face the extra paperwork by transporting produce in short supply to the United Kingdom. Elizabeth Webster added, "The government is getting rid of our food security and relying on imports while cutting off links to Europe." The British newspaper The Guardian continues by saying, Tim Lang, Emeritus Professor of Food Policy at City, University of London, and the author of Feeding Britain, said, our supply chains are creaking and we're seeing a forerunner of what could be a huge crisis. There has been a total failure by the government to develop a proper food strategy. Professor Tim Lang said, it is absurd to be increasingly relying on fresh produce grown more than 1,000 miles away in places such as North Africa, while UK production is being wound down. It is not just food that is at risk in complex supply chains. There have been shortages of cold and flu medications, as some pharmacists rely on drugs from China and India. The National Farmers Union's deputy president, Tom Bradshaw, said reliance on imports had left the UK particularly exposed to shock weather events. He also acknowledged the current shortage was an indirect result of Brexit and the war in Ukraine. Britain relies on Morocco, the Netherlands and Spain for tomatoes over winter. Importers have become increasingly reliant on Morocco in the wake of Brexit, which has slowed the trade in fresh produce with Europe. However, crops in Morocco have been poor this year after flooding and cold temperatures. Surging fertilizer prices in the wake of the Russia-Ukraine war have also hit yields. Harvests in Spain have also been weak following persistent cold spells. According to figures from the Office for National Statistics, the ONS, pressure on supply has led to rising prices, with the cost of a kilogram of tomatoes rising from £2.09 in January 2020 to £2.96 last month. Prices have risen particularly sharply since the start of last year. According to the figures from Office of National Statistics, in January of 2023, annual food price inflation in the United Kingdom hit 16.7%, which was the highest rate since at least 1977. The website of Press TV has also covered this issue and tells us more. Supermarket giants in the United Kingdom are now only allowing three tomatoes and other salad ingredients per customer, and where there is availability, you'll have to pay a premium, especially for out-of-season fresh produce. 2022 was the second hottest year ever on record in Europe. Heat waves and extreme temperatures in Spain, one of Europe's biggest food producers, have meant fewer crops to harvest. The same problem has also affected countries such as Morocco in North Africa. But the United Kingdom has its own well-established food industry, one important component of which is greenhouses, many hectares of which now lay bare. Economics professor Keith Pilbeam said, "There is a problem, of course, with the high price of gas that is used to heat up these greenhouses. They do require quite a lot of gas input, and that's quite expensive." He said another problem is that the supermarkets are also being very tough on pricing, so it's not easy to then raise your prices and get what you want from the supermarkets, adding, "And so rather than produce anything at a loss, some producers have obviously decided not to produce at all." And the United Kingdom faces another particular issue. Most of its fruit and vegetables come from the European Union. The country's exit from the European bloc has meant extra costs and bureaucracy added to the strain, especially on the supply of perishable goods. Professor Keith Pilbeam noted Brexit has caused a shortage of labour, and a shortage of labour means a shortage of fruit and vegetables at the end of the day. He said more bureaucracy and more bureaucracy means more costs, and more costs mean less profit, and therefore lower UK production. It's as simple as that. Food producing organisations say the solution is for the government to provide more support, such as replacing high-carbon fertilisers with low-carbon alternatives, or investing more in soil-free indoor growing techniques.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint,
a critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program. And we are trying to continue our criticism of the movie Witnesses, directed by Mark Goodman, with Brother Yasser and Sayyid Abdullah, my two guest speakers in the studio. Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Brother Yasser, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Again, always a pleasure being here.
Thank you very much. The pleasure is all ours. Well, let's take a listen to a part of the movie Witnesses, directed by Mark Goodman, and then we'll be back. Don't go away.
He's so young.
I think it'll work just fine.
He's not exactly what I expected.
And what did you expect?
I'm not sure. Moses, I suppose. He's just like you and me, and then again, he is the most remarkable man I have ever met.
When the book is done, Joseph has been commanded to restore the true Church of Christ.
Restore?
Yes. And he thinks that you've been called to play a major role.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my two guest speakers, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. In this part, Brother Yasser, David comes to see Oliver and Joseph. David Whitmore, the person who's being interviewed by the reporter. The witness to the witnesses, basically. And finds out that Joseph Smith, is so young to be a prophet. And that takes him by surprise on his first encounter with Joseph, right? What's wrong with being young as a prophet? Can prophets be young, or they need to be old to be taken as a prophet?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Simple. Jesus was a prophet since he was born.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the cradle he spoke.
Right.
So age is not a matter. And I think also this being a group that is an offshoot of Christianity, obviously knew that.
Mm-hmm.
That if Isa alayhi salam, if Jesus alayhi salam was a prophet from the very moment of his birth, then age is merely a number. For them, it didn't really make a difference. So mm-hmm. No, this age is not a criteria
mm-hmm.
for being any sort of prophet, so to speak.
Yeah. I also remember the same thing, or the same mentality with those people who were opposed to the imamate of Imam Ali.
That was that's a different, yeah, his age. Because age is just, it doesn't necessarily mean that
the person is wise or
is
not.
Wise or not. And also, at the end of the day, prophethood or imama, nabuwa or imama, is a position given to you by
God.
A divine source.
Yeah,
by a divine
exactly.
source. That, what that put comes after it is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be a child, it can
right.
be whatever. The wisdom that you get, ilm al-ladunni, it is called,
mm-hmm.
that divine wisdom that comes
yes.
to the individual, is not something that is acquired. It's not mm-hmm. something that you need a lifetime to go and study or to go and read or go and sit in lessons. No, it is something that is given to you immediately
exactly.
because you have a particular position that God has chosen you for.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Let's take a listen to another part of the movie, Witnesses, directed by Mark Goodman, produced in 2021. It's about the Mormon faith altogether. and we'll be back. Don't go away.
You said anyone could receive revelation.
That is true.
You encouraged it.
That is also true. This, however, is not true.
How do you know that?
Because these words are at variance with the order of God's house. Does Hiram Page have authority to speak in the name of the Lord?
You said even the least saint may know all things as fast as he is able to bear them.
Yes, but all things must be done in order. Only one can speak for the Lord.
But he used a stone.
He used a seer stone?
You no longer use a stone, Joseph!
God gave me the stone as milk to a child. When the child eats meat, the milk is put away.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Brother Yasser and Sayyid Abdullah, my two guest speakers, trying to help me criticize the movie Witnesses, directed by Mark Goodman. Well, Sayyid Abdullah, in this part, David and Oliver showed to Joseph the new revelations received by David's brother-in-law at the end of the movie. But Joseph questioned the authenticity of the new revelations, all right? Because Joseph being a prophet, and then he sees a kind of rival for himself, basically, right? Isn't it the sign of division in the new religion, quite recent, of course, as it is normally the case with any one of them, any one of the religions we see today?
There is in doubt a division, because for two prophets to exist at the same time and each trying to show off what they had is also a problematic. Now, having said that, in Islam, for example, in Islamic theology, we did have prophets who existed at the same time. So, for example, you had Yahya, Zakaria, and Isa, alayhi salam, three prophets existed at the same time. But they did not collide with each other. Not did one say, oh, look at my scripture. Mm-hmm. I got this scripture. And they're like, I doubt you got that from God. Where did you get that from?
Yes.
That never happened, because they're prophets. They're on the same level, yeah. Same plane. They worship the same God, the same messenger.
Their origin is the same.
Their origin is the same. Yeah. So with them is definitely a division, because Joseph Smith saw that as a threat to him. So the first thing he would do, he would try to doubt its origin or its authenticity. And this is what he did. He just didn't take it, you know, very well. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that the actual story would have been much harsher than what they're showing us, because they're trying to give it, paint it a bit to make it look nice. But I'm for sure at the time when Joseph saw this, and like, what are you guys doing? Are you trying to compete with me now? Mm-hmm. At least wait for me until I die. And so it's definitely a division. It started even when he was alive, before even he was dead. But after he died, obviously, we know the story. There were so many churches opened up after him, all under the name of Mormonism.
Yes, but given the concept of division, even if you don't see that in the other religions, like as you mentioned, this is not quite natural to see like two prophets actually boasting about their own inscriptions or texts or scriptures, whatever. You know, but we see that kind of division in most of the religions in the world.
Look,
I
don't think there is any religion that existed that did not have divisions after the establishment.
Yes.
Not during the establishment. For example, when you look at Christianity or Judaism, they deviated after the demise of Musa and Isa, alayhi salam.
Right.
Same thing with Islam. The division came after the death of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa ala. During that time, there was no rivalry to him. There was no one trying to compete with him. And even if anyone would have said, I am a prophet, even the ones who are claimed to be prophets, they came after the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa ala. For example, we have Musaylim al-Kadhab, who claimed prophethood, but that was after the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa ala. Mm-hmm. But for example, imagine from Ali comes to the Prophet and says, look, I got a scripture from God, and the Prophet says, really? Did Jibril give you that?
Yeah.
I doubt it. That you could say, look, okay, there's something wrong here in this picture. This is exactly what happened with Mormonism.
Yeah.
The problem happened at the same time when the two existed.
Not
this acclaimed to receive an angel. He acclaimed to have seen an angel. this guy got a scripture, this guy got a scripture. So you can see there's something
not only
right.
At the same time, but in the same place.
Yeah, same place, exactly. So you can see there's a problem happening.
Yeah,
so
you may see two prophets like on two different corners of the world,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're preaching to their own ummah,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. So we're not. So the division, we're saying, yeah, most religion, if not all religion, have divisions, but after. Not at the same time, like you said, in the same place.
Yes.
That never happened with the religions of God.
Yes. Thank you very much. Let's take a listen to another part of the movie, Witnesses, directed by Mark Goodman, and then we'll be back. Stay with us.
You had differences with Joseph?
Not in the beginning. I loved him. Joseph only listened to his own counsel.
And yet he asked you to succeed him as president of the church?
I was asked to preside over the church in Missouri.
You helped build the Kirtland Temple, and when it was completed, more angels?
Yes. I saw angels, as did many others.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critic program on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my two guest speakers in the studio, Syed Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Brother Yasser, near the end of the movie, basically, the reporter asks old David Whitmer a very valid question. Why did you leave the church after all that you've done and seen? You know, like after seeing the angels, because David also claimed to have seen a vision, right, of the angel. And after seeing healing people, some kind of a miracle whatsoever and whatnot, why? Is it in the nature of man, if we take this for granted, if that is true, is it in the nature of man to forget and deny God's signs?
First, I just want to add something to what said Abdullah said, was
correct. I appreciate it, yes.
That, yes, after the religion is divided because of the interpretations of different individuals regarding that religion.
Mm-hmm.
As you saw, after there was different interpretations by other people on that particular scripture.
Not concurrent with the life.
So
that
caused, they each had their own followers and so on and so forth. That obviously resulted in the split. Mm-hmm. So as I said, was correct. It's not during, it was after, and it was because of the interpretation, not because something else was brought.
Mm-hmm.
Interpretation of that particular scripture. The question you asked, as I mentioned previously, when you're talking about speaking, does God speak to us?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the question of how and so on and so forth came. It's the same thing. It's not man's nature. Man as a creation is designed according to Islam, and or not even to Islam, according to the ancient sages as well, that it has this inclining to go back to its origin.
Mm-hmm.
Man has that within him. In the Islamic things, or in the Islamic teachings, we call it fitrah. Okay.
Right.
No, in a very small sense of the word, the fitrah is that particular inbuilt faculty within a human being that enables him to realize, no, there is a particular place I need to go to. I need to go back to my source, wherever that source may be. Man's actions and coming into this world of materialness, this world of, you know, multiplicity, that particular inclining gets covered. It gets, blackened. It doesn't die.
Mm-hmm.
According to teachings of akhlaq and the teachings of philosophy, that innate doesn't die. It gets covered. It loses the ability
to receive light. Yeah.
So that's the general thing. But in this particular concept, the one that you mentioned, it's not man's nature to not see. Man chooses not to see. It is man's nature to see.
Mm-hmm.
Man himself makes himself blind. But even in this one, for example, if a particular person claimed to see an angel, that goes back to another question. If you have certain knowledge that you saw something, why would you then deny it later on? It means that what you saw was not certain. A human being cannot desire that which is certain.
This is what we see in most of the the cases where the followers, in fact, deviate after seeing the miracles brought down to them by the prophets. Isn't it par for the course? Like most of the followers of the prophets deny the prophethood of the very prophet that has shown them so many miracles.
One of the reasons is that they had, whatchamacallit, bad intentions from the very beginning. They were not certain.
Mm-hmm.
They had doubts. And some honestly wanted to cause fitna and corruption.
Mm-hmm.
That was their job, to cause the, this was their thing. You must remember, besides in any religion, there are two general systems that play in the material world that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
One system is the divine system. That is a system that is in play.
Yes.
And the second system is the satanic system.
Mm-hmm.
It is at play right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You cannot say that, oh, this is that. No, there are two systems that are inbuilt within this material world that are at loggerheads with one another.
Right.
Right? They are completely opposite ends of the spectrum.
True.
We as human beings are always stuck in the middle somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
We're always stuck. It is the duty of the divine prophet to take you towards the divine system and to make you aware of the satanic system.
Satanic system, yeah.
Because, you're, like I said, to make you aware. Why? Because you already know these two systems.
Mm-hmm.
He just takes you towards it. And this is where you have to go. I'm guiding you.
Mm-hmm.
And we have many sayings from the Imams, from the Holy Prophet. The best thing that the Holy Prophet said, that I not come to guide you, but I came to perfect your ethics. What does that mean? That I took you to a place where your behavior will take you towards God.
Mm-hmm.
You have it inbuilt in you. I came to remind you.
I see. That's a very nice point, actually. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening to the program Viewpoint, in which we try to criticize the movie Witnesses, and hopefully we have done it in this episode. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
You will see the plates.
The Lord has declared it.
When I hear that trumpet sound, you're gonna get up out of the ground and take a break. You're gonna hold my body down.
I've lost soul.
Why is this happening, Joseph? Did you not see God? Did he not speak to you?
Yes, but he doesn't speak to me now. This time, Mark, we will listen.
There ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body down.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, let us listen to a mind-stimulating saying from the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him. The light of the body is in the eyes. If the sight is luminous, the whole body will be bright. The light of the spirit is in the brain. If a person is really intelligent, he will acknowledge his Lord. If he acknowledges his Lord, he will clearly see his religion. If he ignores the affairs of his Lord, he will be having no religion. Like the body that does not live without a living soul, religion does not live without true conviction. True conviction is proved only through the mind.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
With the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran in 1979, the United States of America lost control of what Jimmy Carter once described as an island of stability in one of the more troubled areas of the world. Under the leadership of Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Ruhollah Khomeini, the Iranian nation had fought an uphill battle in ousting the pro-West Shah. They were longing for a country with national sovereignty, a country with the greatest degree of self-determination, free from the yoke of the Eastern and the Western blocs. The so-called Island of Stability had been rocked by a revolution that had zero tolerance for foreign interference activities. And that was not what the Americans and other great powers of the time expected. And hence, the enmity towards Iran began. Separatism, especially in the country's border areas, was among the immediate challenges the newly established republic was faced with. Just one day after the victory of the revolution, separatists in Iran's Kurdistan and Azerbaijan revolted against the government. Meanwhile, a bloody assassination campaign was launched by the Mujahideen-e Khalq organization, MKO, a terrorist group that took the lives of over 12,000 Iranian citizens. The terrorist cult also targeted a great number of Iran's senior officials with the ultimate aim of taking power in the country. Although the aim was naive, it stripped the country of figures who could play significant roles in the future of the republic. Terrorist acts were later committed by other enemies of Iran, especially the Israeli regime, in its desperate attempt to hamper the country's peaceful nuclear program. In April 1980, almost a year after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, the U.S. Armed Forces carried out Operation Eagle Claw. But the mission was aborted as the American helicopters were caught in a sandstorm in Tabaz in the east of Iran.
Oh, it's, a significant reminder for United States and other countries that are thinking about attacking Iran that it's not going to be that easy. Iran now is much more powerful in terms of its military and in terms of its defense.
A few months later, in yet another abortive attempt known as the Noje coup d'etat, the country's enemies were trying to overthrow the newly established Islamic Republic of Iran, this time with the help of the traitorous members of the Air Force loyal to the dethroned Shah.
I think looking back on it, it was quite pathetic. You know, it was very badly organized and really it was half-hearted. It was making certain assumptions which wasn't going to come true. But nevertheless, it was quite testing for the newly formed government.
With two failed attempts, the Americans and their allies tried to restore their trampled pride, this time by encouraging an ambitious Iraqi dictator, namely Saddam Hussein, who launched an 8-year war against Iran. From the very beginning, riots, coup attempts, assassinations, and military actions were all coupled with monetary pressure on Tehran. For instance, in November 1979, through Executive Order 12-170, Carter froze about $8.1 billion in Iranian assets, including bank deposits, gold, and other properties. The practice has continued since then.
For people who say these are just symbolic, that's not the case at all. We've literally locked up tens and tens of billions of dollars. These sanctions will come along with additional entities where people are hiding money. So no, these sanctions are highly effective.
These so-called highly effective sanctions are also known in Iran by yet another name, economic terrorism, as they have indiscriminately been targeting the whole nation.
People are also subjected to the most brutal form of economic terrorism, deliberately targeting innocent civilians to achieve illegitimate political objectives. The unlawful extraterritorial economic sanctions imposed on Iran by the United States in violation of Security Council Resolution 2231 represent the greatest threat to the achievement of sustainable development goals of Iran and many of our neighbors.
In just one case, U.S. unilateral sanctions have prevented EB children in Iran from having special wound dressings, resulting in their silence and slow deaths.
Since May 2018, that the U.S. unilaterally withdrew from the JCPOA, up to May 2019, a number of children suffering from EB died only because they did not have Mepilex dressings. I want to tell those who claim to be defenders of human rights what has been the crime of this 37-day-old baby who died of the disease only because we did not have Mepilex dressings as a result of the U.S. sanctions.
Last but not least, the Islamic Republic of Iran has been the innocent victim of a politically motivated smear campaign, spearheaded by Washington. Through their ugly, distorted lens, the Americans have been seeking to show Iran as a rogue state and a sponsor of terrorism, which is after nuclear bombs and wherein human rights have no place. Since 1979, the Islamic Republic of Iran has been faced with unending challenges and threats coming from outside. To the dismay of the country's enemies, all these subversive activities have only made Iran a stronger nation. A blow that does not break your back, only makes it stronger.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program. Today is a special. For today's discussion and program, we want to talk about how to strengthen the faith. Stay tuned.
Assalamu alaikum.
Today, Friday, is the 10th of the month of Sha'ban, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 12th of Isfan, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 3rd of March, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless our program with Surah Al-Imran, Ayah 173. Stay tuned, please.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل.
Those to whom hypocrites said, "Indeed, the people have gathered against you, so fear them." But it merely increased them in faith, and they said, "Sufficient for us is Allah, and He is the best disposer of affairs."
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The enemy, propagating agents and some simple-minded and coward people, advisingly inspire that the group of enemies is strong and none can combat them, so it is better not to entangle yourselves with fight. The true believers, without any fear, and as they are qualified in the verse, calmly answers them. So, be not frightened by the hollow propagation of the enemy. In the fighting place and among the strivers, be careful of the penetrating members of the enemy. The strongest barrier against all the threats of the enemy is faith and trusting in Allah. Strengthening the faith. Faith is the most important foundation for a Muslim to have, as Allah defines someone's levels not by their looks or wealth, but by faith. We live in this world under Allah's permission, so that everything we do must please Him. Allah has already owned everything, so He does not ask anything from us. Allah only wants a thing, faith. Faith would define a faith in the hereafter to the day of judgment. So it's important for us to have a strong faith or iman. A Muslim with a weak faith or iman is an easy target to the evil whisper of shaitan. Allah says in the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 44, "Whoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, then those are the unbelievers."
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. In this very session, we're trying to talk about the ways to strengthen our beliefs or iman. Since it is very difficult for the enemy to take the belief and the iman of the people, man yu'min billah, that is the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is naturally and intrinsically in the hearts of the people, but it is easy, it seems that it is easy to actually for the enemies to work on the disbelief in the taghut, because it is something that, human beings can be tempted from this entrap. So it's good to understand that this is where it's very important for us to work on. The next factor that has been mentioned in the language of the hadith and the Islamic teachings, which strengthens our iman, is connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an advice to the truth, an advice to the patience. We have been said that watawasu bil haqqi, watawasu bil sabr, this is Quranic verse, that if we are after strengthening iman inside ourselves, we have to be patient. We have to be patient with regard to the Allah's rewards and punishments, with regard to Everything that comes to our life and that happens to us, and we have to do the same, and we have to advise others to do, to be so. The next factor that has been mentioned among the factors of strengthening the iman is to benefit from the perfect human beings or good human role models, is to use to benefit from the great people and good teachers and good tutors. There are some religious authorities and there are some moral teachers that they are really beneficial for the human being. IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
How to strengthen the faith. Give charity. We read in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 274, those who spend their wealth in charity by night and by day, privately and publicly, will find that their reward is secure with the Lord, and no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they grieve. Helping others creates feeling of peace. Not only thus charity protects you from evil, but it also has immense ajr, or reward, in this life and the hereafter. Islam is a complete code of conduct. Giving charity elevates your iman and strengthens your faith. The relief associated with helping other people is remarkable. This selfless gesture ensures that the vulnerable needs and rights are met respectfully. It teaches the next generations about generosity, love, and care, fosters sustainability in your society, and eradicates poverty.
You are the hope for our globe. Don't give up, no despair. There's nothing you can't repair. You can change this world to a better world with your souls, with your souls.
Strengthening your heart with certainty. The great prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, talks about God-wariness, which is one of the signs of certainty. There are six signs for the person of the certainty. He has certainty of God, thus believes in him. He is certain that this is true, thus he is wary of it. He is certain that the resurrection is true, therefore he fears the humiliation of that day. He is certain that paradise is true, therefore he yearns for it. He is certain that the hellfire is true, therefore he strives to save himself from it. He is certain that the accountability on the day of judgment is true, therefore he takes account of himself. Imam Ali alayhi salam in a beautiful hadith states, anybody who is sure that he will separate from friends, that he will be put under the ground, that he will be accountable on the day of judgment for what he has done, that what he leaves behind will not help him in the future, that he will need what he has sent in advance, should shorten his far-fetched whims and desires and add to his good deeds.
This smartphone helps with your salah. This smartphone can help you tremendously with your salah, which is the pillar of your faith. As-salatu amududdin. How? Three ways. Number one, it has a compass, right? Many times when I'm traveling before, I had to carry those compasses that never even work. I had to ask the flight attendant or in the airport or wherever I am, like in a restaurant, which way is Mecca, Saudi Arabia? Oh, such a hassle. Now there are apps, the Qibla apps. There's hundreds of them. You just set it and what? Wait, that's another, I think that's a commercial, isn't it? Isn't it a commercial? Anyway, you just set it and you see the Qibla. Chose your Qibla is this way, Qibla is that way. That's beautiful. I don't need to ask anybody anymore. Wherever I am, I can find the Qibla right away. Doesn't that help you in your salah? Obviously. Another way it helps you in your salah is the adhan times. That's beautiful. Reminds you. We need that constant reminder. This is all. There's hundreds of these apps. So with adhan time, I even recently saw an app that I really loved, and I think every single one of you should download. The app is called Shia, S-H-I-A plus. So this is basically how it looks like. This is one of our youth in this community from Dearborn made it. It's unbelievable how much time this person put into it. It has all the salah times based on, you know, wherever you live. It has a GPS. So you just update the GPS system. It tells you where you are. All the salah times. It has a calendar of all of the religious holidays. When is Eid? When is, for example, Ashura? When is the birthday of Imam? It's all there beautifully. He has a beautiful calendar with all of that in it. Daily A'mal. What should I do today? It's Sunday. Is there anything recommended? You go on daily A'mal. It tells you it's Sunday. Do this dua. Recite this. Do this. Do that. And then you can check each one after you do it. How beautiful is that? It has the Qibla, like I said, right? It shows you the Qibla. And what's even more beautiful is it shows you, if you go on the more page, prayer video step by step on how to pray. There's a video, some guy is praying, that teaches you Arabic and English how to pray step by step. How to do wudu. And so much more, brothers and sisters.
Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program. Today is a special. For more information, do not forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
Of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.